Would that be different? Then I noticed they were gone.
It could be different, Your Honor.
Do you agree that this statement conveys some temporal relationship to the missing computers or not?
Yes, I would say so.
It seems to me, in getting back to Judge Ryan's question, that what you're arguing here is the term notice, as it is used here, means saw. I saw the computers. Is that?
The opposition is that the term notice would mean observed.
Observed. Okay.
Is this a perjury case?
No, it's not.
Okay. Does that matter? You know, Brunson, which is one of the cases on which you rely, is a perjury case.
It is a perjury case.
Yeah. Does that matter? Do the legal principles applicable to the perjury, the Title 18 perjury statute, apply here? Or is Article 107 a different animal?
Well, Article 107 has been analogized with 18 U.S.C. 1001, which is this,
which is not the perjury statute.
No, it's not a perjury statute.
Right.
However, the 18 U.S.C. 1001, courts have analogized it to cases in U.S. v. Jackson. There, the doctrine of literal truth does apply on whether or not the statement itself is literally true. And it's our position that this statement was. There's also been analogy between Article 107 and Article 134, which Article 134 also has an element of falsity. Under Article 134, the case of U.S. Arena v. Hayes, where statements were found to be technically, literally, and legally true, those particular statements cannot be the basis for a conviction. I have nothing further. The appellant pleaded guilty to false official statements in private where his statement is not false and will not satisfy the second element of Article 107. We ask that this court certify aside its findings and send this matter back for resentencing.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government.
Please, the court. My name is Major Dana Levitt, and I, along with Colonel John Miller, represent the government. This court should affirm the Army Court's holding that appellant's guilty plea to false official statement was provident. A guilty plea should not be overturned unless there's a substantial basis in law or fact to question it, and neither basis is present here. There's no question that appellant's statement as follows was false. While loading up the Connexes, I noticed that the four computers weren't on top of the box anymore. Appellant had previously stolen them, as he admitted on the record. He admitted in his declaration that the statement was false. He described in four different places in the record exactly how and why it was false, and the statement in context is false on its face. The last two points warrant a little further explanation. The record indicates exactly why and how that statement was false. At page 26, appellant admitted that while he was in charge of loading the Connexes as the NCOIC, he saw them and I indeed did take three computers, he said. At page 33, he then later told the judge during the care inquiry that I told the XO, Lieutenant Zare, something that wasn't actually what happened, meaning his statement that while loading the Connexes, I noticed they were missing. That's not exactly what happened. He specifically told him that he didn't know anything about the computers coming up missing. At the third location, at page 35 of the record, appellant admitted that the statement was false because it was trying to show that he had no knowledge of where the computers went, sir, but in all actuality, I knew why they were missing and where they went. He'd stolen them. And Finally, and most importantly, at page 37, appellant further explained that by telling him, the XO, that I noticed they weren't on the box anymore, that would tell him that I had no knowledge of the computers being moved. Based on appellant's own statements during the care inquiry, he acknowledged that his use of the word notice was intended to convey knowledge.
Would it matter if he said, I saw that they were missing, or I observed that they were missing?
Your Honor, that might be a different hypothetical, because it implies something slightly different, just merely observing and noticing in that sense that they were not there. But if under a contextual analysis, it could conceivably be still a false official statement. And under the facts in this particular case, his use of the word notice, he admitted, was designed to impute lack of knowledge, which was false. And in the context of questioning by his XO, we're not talking about a CID investigator trained in interrogation techniques. We're talking about a supply maintenance battalion XO hoping on the eve of redeployment out of Iraq to locate almost $10,000 worth of sensitive equipment in a combat zone that ultimately necessitated extra trips in an IED intensive arena to ultimately find out what happened to them.
Well, was this a search for computers purely, or was it an investigation of this particular individual?
Your Honor, the record doesn't clearly establish that, but in context, in the totality of the circumstances, appellant was the NCOIC. He was responsible and had custodial responsibility and accountability for the items, and they were concerned with locating that equipment, and they spent considerable time and effort doing so.
About page 3 of the stipulation, it says, during the investigation and search, Captain Fabiano received information implicating the accused in the theft of computers. After being read and waived his rights, the accused provided a sworn statement.
Yes, Your Honor, that is true.
That doesn't necessarily cut against the government. My question is, is that context important for understanding the response that was then made? He's accused of stealing computers at that point, and he's being read and waived his rights. So he knows he's a suspect for stealing computers.
Right. And once he opened his mouth and uttered more than an exculpatory no, he had an official obligation to report the truth, and he failed to do so. And just because one aspect or one detail of his statement may be factually correct, that the computers were no longer on top of the box, that does not negate the ultimate falsity and deception of his statement. Unless there are any further questions?
Thank you, Counsel.
You're welcome. I'll briefly conclude. Given appellant's admission that a statement was totally false, the Army Court properly affirmed his guilty plea. Just because a false official statement happens to contain one detail does not negate the false and deceptive nature of this appellant's entire statement. In context, denying any knowledge of the location of the computers that he had previously stolen was a lie and designed to mislead his XO. The government therefore asks this court to affirm the Army Court's decision.
Thank you. Does the defense have rebuttal? That then concludes our argument. We thank counsel for both parties for your submission today. And that concludes our arguments for this week. The court will be adjourned.
The court stands adjourned until further order.